Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Clinton Henning. We're going to talk to him about Noble Resources. Noble Resources trades in Canada and in the U.S., and you can purchase it down here, as I have in the States. 178.7 million shares, trading at around $2.68 Canadian money, giving it a market cap of around $480 million in Canadian funds, or around $360 or so in U.S. money. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Certainly, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Always fun to talk to you because you have new and exciting ideas. It's not just the usual, the way we've always done things for the last 100 years in mining, but new cutting-edge things that you're exploring and developing and using to try to find novel ways to make money, projects that would otherwise be overlooked. So that's really what I'd like to have you explain to our listeners, your November 12th press release that revealed what looks potentially like some very good news concerning mechanical sorting of gold nuggets, not only the larger nuggets, which you've talked about some time ago, I know, with something called the Steinhardt technology, but also very fine gold nuggets as well. Talk to us about your latest press release and explain to our listeners why this is potentially so important, even if the market isn't paying a lot of attention to it.
Certainly, yes. This is it's important for us, but it's also could have an impact on gold mining in general. I think the work that we're doing, but also these companies like Steinhardt and Tomra, who make these sorting machines, they've now clued in to the fact that, you know, there's potential to directly sort particulate gold in gold ores.
Mm-hmm.
The work in, you know, the interest in this topic really centered around the sorting techniques or trials that we did say a year ago. Mm-hmm. We started, you know, we did some work with Tomra sorting some material from Paratha. It worked quite well. We crushed the rock down. These are conglomerates that have gold nuggets, and we crushed the rock down, screened it, and then we put the material through a sorter that used a technology called X-ray transmission. It's basically X-rays that pass up through the conveyor belts as the rock material is passing over.
Mm-hmm.
And the detector, the sensor that looks down onto this conveyor belt, can see the rock that has gold particles. And so when they reach the end, you know, the machine has little air jets that literally flick the rock off these, mm-hmm. they blow the rock off the end of the conveyor into a separate bin. Mm-hmm. And thus they produce a concentrate. You know, it picks the gold-bearing rocks out. It's remarkable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where we were a year ago, we were able to pick, you know, rocks that the rocks themselves were anywhere from about 5 millimeters up to 5 or 6 centimeters in diameter, and the gold particles within them were on the order of a few millimeters up to even a couple of centimeters across.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so fairly coarse stuff, fairly yeah. coarse gold, fairly coarse rock particles. Now, as you know, when you crush rock down, you produce a lot of fines,
mm-hmm.
and in the case of Karatha, you know, one of the challenges we had was, well, how would we sort the fine material? You know, if you crush this conglomerate down, and, you know, some of your gold is going to end up in this fine, finely crushed material, how can you sort it? Well, at the time, we didn't have an answer. But fast forward, you know, both Tomra and Steinhardt started thinking about this over the past 6 or 12 months, and they've come to us multiple times now with new ideas, new technology that they've developed in-house. Some of it is, you know, offshoot of existing technology that they're working on. You know, so sorting is often focused on industrial waste, you know, for example, picking copper wire out of other types of waste.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they have to pick very, very fine particles of copper out of a stream of waste. Well, they, in the case of Steinhardt, they came to us a couple of months ago and they said, you know, we think we can pick gold down to sub-millimeter, even, you know, perhaps sub-half millimeter in
wow.
size. So we're talking, you know, literally pinhead-sized gold. We did some tests. We did some tests back in August, and then fast forward, we've done some over the past 2 months. We've done some test work here in Perth directly with Agena gold. That, you know, this is gold that we're recovering out in the field. And you know, the if people haven't seen it, the video that we put together that goes along with the news release on November 12th is quite revealing. You know, what we did basically was put a series of nuggets on a piece of sticky tape, mm-hmm. and then attached it to the conveyor belt. And then as the conveyor belt's going around and around, there's a live feed of the sensor, and you can see that the nuggets are detected every single time. And some of these nuggets are very, very small, 0.4 millimeters. Mm-hmm. You know, that's crazy small, okay? Mm-hmm. In the case of Steiner, they use induction sensors to pick up the gold particles. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. They also use X-ray transmission like Tomra. Mm-hmm. But they kind of have two different sensors that work in concert to pick these things up. Well, what does that mean? So it means that if the machine can see the particle, it can segregate it from the rest of the material. So uh-huh. once it reaches the end of the conveyor, you know, the concept would be it does what's called a panel blow. It basically blows the material off the conveyor belt in that little segment and effectively captures the nugget along with, you know, some waste material. But mm-hmm. the important thing is it concentrates the nuggets. Mm-hmm. And you know, this technique is absolutely remarkable. I hadn't seen it. The guys here in Australia have been doing test work for, you know, 2 or 3 months, and I hadn't seen it firsthand until I got down here mm-hmm. About 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. When I saw it firsthand, I said, we've got to, you know, talk about this. This is just absolutely incredible. And it's really got us thinking more and more now about how we can apply it not only to Agena, where we, you know, the gold we tested, but to other projects, you know, including Karratha. It goes back to the finely crushed material at Karratha. Well, all of a sudden, we now have a technique that looks like it could work on the fines at Karratha. And then even Beaton's Creek. Uh-huh. Okay, so we go back to Beaton's Creek, and we think, well, let's look at what we know about the gold particle size. If you and, you know, other listeners will recall, you know, a few years ago we did some gravity gold recovery tests on Beaton's Creek, and at a 600 micron or 0.6 millimeter crush size, mm-hmm. we actually recover around 75% to 80% of the gold in a GRG plant. Well, mm-hmm. that's coarser than these machines can pick now. Uh-huh. So that means that if we can do that with, you know, wet processing, it also means we can easily do that with sorting. So we're looking at applying this technology to all of our properties. And quite frankly, it could have an impact on the gold mining industry.
Well, that's amazing.
Exciting stuff. It's quite interesting that, you know, these companies are competing now. Mm-hmm. both in the, you know, in the research side of things, mm-hmm. but also competing to get business that we might generate for them. Mm-hmm. So we're already starting to look at how to put a machine out in the field test these, you know, at Edna and perhaps even at Karratha and Beaton's Creek. So very exciting. You know, we've made what I think is a quantum leap here, mm-hmm. and I can't underestimate how excited we are.
Well, absolutely. And maybe you can talk a little bit about why this has such an economic impact it potentially has. I know that I think you're basically operating in a desert, in a very dry area anyway, where there may not be an abundance of water. You talked about dry sorting or dry mining,
yes.
and also chemical-free mining, which I would think would make the environmentalists happier.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about the economics, and also I think in your early test, how much of the mass is discarded then? Because you're taking out the gold nuggets, you're separating the gold nuggets, putting them into a separate bin, and creating a concentrate, which means you don't have to move a lot of heavy rock around, right? So it should be energy. It should be energy, good in reducing energy as well.
It is. Like, there's a lot of pluses. You know, the chemical free aspect is huge. The fact that we would use little to no water is absolutely huge because, you know, as you said, we're in a very arid environment. It's just a challenge to you know, find enough water for operating a wet plant, say. So those are immediate, you know, clear benefits. But let's talk about cost for a bit. So We've talked to, you know, in particular the folks at Steiner about operating costs for these machines. The sensors or the machines can have a 2 meter wide belt, okay, mm-hmm. and they operate, the belt moves at approximately 10 kilometers per hour. You know, it's fairly fast pace. If you put material on there, say, at a height of two particles nominal across that surface, in other words, a double layer, but you use a slightly thinner belt, you know, these guys are estimating that we could probably process on the order of 50 tons of fine material at a cost of about $26 a ton. 50 tons per hour at a cost of about 26 cents, per ton. Okay, so 26 cents. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. That's just jaw-droppingly cheap. Most of that cost goes into running the conveyor belt itself, but also the compressed air to blow the material off the end of the belt. Okay, so we're talking about costs of processing that are an order of magnitude or more less than conventional processing. This is what's truly remarkable. Okay, we're on the verge of figuring out something that I think, like I said, could impact the gold mining industry as a whole. Now, people say, well, gee, 50 tons an hour, that doesn't sound like a lot. Well, now let's talk about the cost of the machines, okay? The machines are on the order of $800,000 to $1 million Australian per sorter. We're talking very low capital, okay? So, you know, you're not going to start a mine where you're doing, you know, a piddly little 50 tons an hour. You're going to probably have a series of these things, and you might even operate them in parallel or in series, you know, in different configurations to enhance your processing ability and recovery. There's all sorts of possibilities here. All right, so not only is the operating cost low, but the capital cost is exceptionally low too. And this is the kind of thing that could be installed fairly quickly. I think, in terms of permitting, there's huge benefits because you're not using a lot of water. You won't have conventional tailings, stuff like that. And, it's just a whole new game.
Do you see then possibly mining and then leaving the waste rock behind as you mine this material? I mean, if you're able to separate the good stuff from the waste rock right there on site, can you just return it right back into the mine?
You can. Look, in concept, certainly at Edgley, you can reclaim immediately after mining. In other words, have it on a continual basis. But then there's other potential here, too. One of the things we're now considering is, you know, at places like Beaton's Creek and Karratha, where we have hard rock conglomerate. We would crush it, sort the particles out with gold, but you then have the chance to use your waste as byproduct for aggregate, things like that. So there's all sorts of potential benefit here.
So I know going back earlier, you'd put out this press release in October, I guess it was October 9th, in which you showed, I think you took 222.2 cubic meters of material. And from that, you gather 337.2 grams of gold per cubic meter. So per cubic meter, over 1.5 grams per gold, I believe.
That's correct.
And that's you pointed out that's really a very high grade for this kind of mining. But you've also there was a lot of empty blanks there. I presume you'll be able to fill in those empty blanks as you go forward and do more bulk sampling. And I guess you can't really. You don't have the numbers yet and what you can really say about that, but do you have a sense that this could really enhance the project by picking up this fine gold that you weren't that you weren't necessarily counting on? You didn't know how to recover before?
You know, a few months ago, I would have said the ability to sort particles this fine would have been just crazy. But now I think there's potential, okay? The blanks that you're referring to are the blanks in the tables that we released in recent press releases discussing grades of the bulk samples at Edgina. Mm-hmm. All right, the grades that are actually or the gold recovered are in those tables is actually gold that's above 1 millimeter in size. Okay, uh-huh. So the coarse gold, you know, it's easy for us to process. We metal detect, we get that gold, we then put it through our little test plant there at Station Peak and recover the other coarse gold. But it's the finer grain gold that we have to assay, and those samples are in right now. There's a large batch that are nearly done, and I hope to have that data out within a few days. Hmm. But it's very interesting because the fine grain gold, you know, fine is a relative term. Okay, mm-hmm. In this case, fine grain gold is still fairly coarse. It's less than a millimeter in size, but the fine grain gold we're talking about at Edgen, and quite frankly, and our other gold projects is on the order of, you know, point X millimeter, so mm-hmm. 0.1 to 1 millimeter in size. Mm-hmm. It's still coarse in gold terms, mm-hmm. right? And it's quite conceivably sortable now. Now that we have these machines and we've done this test work, I'm feeling more and more confident that we can potentially sort very fine gold particles out of these conglomeratic ores.
All right, Quentin, before we conclude our discussion today, I'd like you to remind our listeners just how large this Egina deposit is. I mean, you haven't assayed a whole lot of it, but the bulk assays that come back have been very, very encouraging, even without the fines. But can you give our listeners just a sense of the scale of Egina and your project?
You bet. Okay, so Edgina, what we're dealing with is a large flat plain that really sits between the ocean, the northern coast of Australia, all the way up to the hills where the Fortescue, you know, our old Archean Fortescue conglomerates and whatnot outcrop. All right, this surface has gold scattered across it. We know this because there's various prospects around the area. Usually along the edge of what we call the terrace, this flat area. And these places where this gravel comes to surface is, you know, they're quite profound. There's nuggets that have been found by historic prospecting for eons now. But what we're seeing is we're starting to come to grips with the distribution of these things, the size of this target. It is absolutely immense. You know, it covers tens and tens of square kilometers, even in fact, hundreds of square kilometers. It can take you half an hour to drive from one prospect to the next. But we reckon that a lot of this terrace could be prospective for this type of gold. And we're, you know, it's even though we've only nibbled at a little tiny part of the system, we feel that the system in general is highly prospective. Of, you know, it could be a game changer. Like mm-hmm. it's something that just, it's almost bewildering to think of how large it is.
All right. So in summing up then, we should be looking for these assays from the fines. I guess that's something you've just
Correct.
Said is likely to come out. That might be the next bit of news we should look for. And then finishing out this year and into 2020, what should people be aware of?
Yeah, we've got a couple of large bulk samples going through our plant right now. We've dug, I think, 2 1,000-ton bulk samples at Edgina. Those are going through the plant. I hope to have news on that, say, mid-December, right before Christmas, somewhere around there. We'll have additional news about some prospecting activity that we've been doing in the field. We've had a long, long, good, productive season of prospecting, and I think those results will be the subject of a couple of news releases over the next month or so. So lots of news just between now and the end of the year, but going into next year, we will continue working at Edgina. We're not going to take a break, you know, weather permitting. We're not going to take a break. We're going to plow forward and make this project go.
Well, you have just a most exciting project, and one I think, as you say, could be a game changer, not only for yourselves, but maybe for a lot of other mining projects around the world. And it's, you know, sometimes it takes a long time, especially when you're doing something that's different, to learn how to develop and how to mine and, you know, how to use the technology that's available. And so, as I see, these companies that are producing this technology must be getting excited, too, about the prospects because of the vastness, I think, in part, of your project. Quentin, thank you so much for being with us again, and we'll look forward to keeping up with this most fascinating noble resource story.
Anytime, Jake.